This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. So far, so good. Everything seems to be... It seems like they're... well, I take that back. I'm going to not say that out loud because they have some meeting with the... They have a large meeting tomorrow with higher-ups, and it sounds like news is going to come down. So I don't even want to act like things are like settling into a nice pace because they'll go fuck it up because that's what they do. So I have no fucking faith in this whatsoever. But
it's
hopefully
be
they'll be
painfully hard to live with your just overall
Eeyore-ness.
Yeah, it's not even Eeyore-ness, dude. It's like because like when it's funny because when you say it, like okay, don't get me wrong, it doesn't sound great. It's not like you have a happy tone with bad stuff coming out, right? It's not that kind of right. Confusing. But it's also not like Eeyore. Like, you felt like Eeyore had, like, cigarettes put out on him and shit, you know? And was just like, yeah. It's rough. But, like, when you say it, I'm just like, I don't remember the last time this man, like, had something coming up in his life where he was like, dude, this is going to be awesome. Like, it is always, like, 99.9% of, like, it's all going to fuck up somehow. And then there's, like, that 0.1% when it goes through, you're like, yeah! And I'm like... Really wish you would allow a little bit more of that into the regular.
No, because I've been burned too many times.
Body too much of it.
I've been burned too many times to get my hopes up, just to have them dashed when what is going to happen normally happens.
Well, then you need to like then you need to be like in like the happy medium somewhere where you're just like cool. Like you don't need to be too happy about it, right? But you also don't need to be where you're at now.
No. See, I expect the absolute worst. So when something better than that happens, that's where I'm at right now. Really like this fucking cold to go away. Whatever the hell it is.
You're getting just like one of those like spring fever bullshits.
Not fever. No, because then I'd be real fucking worried. No, it's just this drainage and cough that I have going. I've had it for like the past... Let me see, the past two podcasts, and now this is the third. Because I know, because I remember having to edit out coughs the entire time. Like, that, I know what that looks like now. So we finally finished our Star Trek Picard review, and it was all intense, and you were kind of so-so about certain parts of it, and you suggested we watch Vagrant Queen for our next chunk of recordings, and...
I feel like I did a good job.
I'm not sad that you said that at all. I tell you what, the change of pace is refreshing. The characters and the story are fun and light, but also still well done to certain extents. I mean, the special effects are pretty good.
Well, the best part is like, you know, it's kind of not saying... It's kind of like American Horror Story, right? Like, it's quality filming, but they degrade it in certain ways. Like, they knew in American Horror Story that it was the 80s. So they're like, we can't have new shit. You dress them down and stuff. This show is basically like Star Wars. It's all dystopia everywhere, you know? Like, it's all shit. The Republic fucking owns it. But the cool thing they do is, like, you get these sets where... It's like real, but you can almost tell it's a set. It's more like you're there, like you're just chilling and you're one of the extras. Like that's kind of the way it, that's the vibe it kind of gives me.
Everybody's extra crisp and the filming, there's no like lens. There's no what do they call it? Like there's no like shading to the color at all. Like it's just they're filming what they're seeing and it's nice and crisp.
Yeah, and they're filming what they see like in like, you know, 4K, but there's no other like really filters or things going on.
Yeah, filter. Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. There's no filter applied to it at all. The opening scene, the special effects, the blood and gore is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, if you absolutely stare at his arm when it's lopped off, you're like, yeah, okay, I can, because it looks more like shimmery, you know, it's, you're like, yeah, but when it first happens, that, like, your brain doesn't miss a beat. You go, shit, that dude's arm got cut the fuck off and he's bleeding.
Yeah,
bleeding.
Yeah, it's like watching a soap opera and somebody gets shot for real. You're like, ooh, ooh, like, there's like blood and everything. Yeah, it's real nice. And she ends up shooting the other guy through the head and there's like the blood splatter and it's all nice. I was like, this is really nice. I'm really into this. Mm-hmm. Let's go to it. So yeah, it's a good start. I kind of worry, not about the show. I kind of worry about what's happening with the Wynonna Earp show, because Tim Rosen, the guy who plays Isaac, the guy with the full beard, it stays hooded for the first half of the episode and then like reveals himself. That dude plays Doc Holliday on Wynonna Earp. Like, and he plays it like he's like main character in the show. And I'm like, oh, bro, you're in a different show. Like, what happened to Wynonna Earp, man? That show's fucking awesome, too. Like,
yeah, but I mean,
did you take a break?
It's not like they're on like the same schedule or anything like that.
No, apparently not. So I think I know that they got cleared for another one. Well, the thing is, the girl that plays Wynonna Earp is the lady who plays in Letterkenny. Who's the mushmouth guy with always wears the white?
Yeah, she plays his wife.
Yeah, she plays his wife, and so I mean, she has that show. So I mean, I'm not saying you can't go do something else.
Yeah, I mean,
we're kind of like
a lot of the shows that are on like CW and Sci-Fi and stuff like that. Like, they're big time shows, but it's also like when you're middle management, like you make decent money, but you don't make what your manager makes, but you definitely don't make what the newbie makes. So you're like, all right, like it's like they're stepping stones, you know, like. You can do two of them and make solid money, or you could make one of these and kind of get a name for yourself. And then hopefully they're like, hey, you want to do movies or you want to come do this, you know, and it's the takeoff point. But yeah, I forgot that he was, I've only watched, I think like the first season.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. And it's really funny to watch her in Letterkenny afterwards. Cause you're like, oh, you're really good at this whole acting thing. Like,
the insane shift between those two characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the best part. And speaking of, like, you know, Amy, what's her, the sister of the bartender in this show,
mm-hmm.
In Vagrant Queen, she was on your show Blood Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple. I mean, it's kind of that whole crew. Was Blood Drive on Sci-Fi as well?
Yep.
Yeah, it seems they have like their core of actors that are like, we need somebody, we'll call you. You come on up. You come on and do this. Because I think Wynonna Earp's on Sci-Fi too. Am I wrong?
No, you're probably right. Yeah, I mean, they probably all have like some type of contract in there with them where it's like, you are a CW actor, right? Or you are a sci-fi actor. Because a lot of them do get like recycled through shows and play new characters on different shows. And it's like, it's not guest spots. Like, they are that person as well, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. So you like the opening introduction to Alita?
Yeah, it was cool. She was a scavenger. It kind of gives you like the Tomb Raider, Indiana Jones kind of vibe. Cause you're like, all right, I know she's going to definitely go out and go look for things and do stuff. I mean, it's called Vagrant Queen, so you already know there's like a whole royalty aspect, and it's not hard to go, okay, she's...
So the main character who
runaway
is,
queen,
right.
Got it. There we go. Okay. Now, you're not exactly sure who, what, where, when, why yet, but I like it when her first introduction, you know, she gets caught, but then she gets out and like in a really cool way and goes about her business. So you're also like, she's definitely been in these kind of situations before, so it should not be any kind of shock that she does something later, right? It's not like it just came out of nowhere. This is our first introduction to her, so you go, okay, that's how she is. Yeah,
yeah. She does seem to have this almost like fly by the seat of your pants, like I don't care. Like almost, I mean, everybody in their early 20s doesn't care and they think they're like unstoppable. But I mean, she's at the point where she's like, I'm going to get out of everything. When she's held at gunpoint by these guys, when she's in literally a trash chute that is going to end up dumping her into space.
Yeah, but even then, like that was a solid argument. She talked her way out of it, you know, like,
yeah, she's really good at that.
But that she's but really good given the way that guy was introduced, her saying that to like you're they literally did it in fucking Star Wars, man. And like now you're like bad mouthing it over here. Like,
I'm not.
Your tone is all like, oh, she just gets out of everything, blah blah blah. Like her point, her argument was, oh, if you kill me, the guy that's been hunting me down for 15 years that we know killed her parents doesn't get to kill me. You're gonna die. That peon soldier's like, yeah, smart move. I'm gonna let you out. Now that the fact that her dude happened to just show up at the same time and pop him in a head, you know, like. I'll give you there's your hand of God right there, you know, but like her arguments and getting out of that wasn't like, ooh, look at her just magically pull that out of her ass.
I'm not saying magic. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I do. It is just kind of funny to see the I don't know if it's she doesn't care or that she just knows she's never like not gotten her way. Like everything she puts her mind to, whether it be as royalty, she always got her way more than likely, minus the fact that like they were on the run for some time. And it's always that like, I have no friends. My life is so boring type thing. I mean, that's the standard royalty trope, like where it's like, I'm not a normal kid. They're like, it's because you're not a normal kid. Shut up. Like do this, train this, whether it be fighting or whether it be like all the hoity-toity royalty stuff. But I feel like she's actually never had stuff not go her way, even after she was on her own. You know what I mean?
No, she always has that vibe at all.
I'll see the vibe I have is just like, she's like, I can, whatever I set my mind to, it's going to happen. Like there's no chance this isn't going to go the way it's supposed to go, to the point where like, she's even having a good time, to the point where she first gets caught and gets chased after by that dude. She's watching that guy who just ripped her off get punched in the face, and like she's having a time to have a good chuckle at it, and then she waits too long until the dude sees her. Like that part was cool. Like that was funny where she waits to see that guy get punched in the face and she's like laughing at it. So no, I'm just trying to get the feel for her character, but it's
like I didn't, that whole thing you just described, like I didn't get that from her at all. Like,
well, what did you get from her?
Well, I mean, I got the, you got who your hero is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in every show, everything seems to go pretty much their way all the time. Like, so I knew the story had to go forward. So her getting out of things like, okay, that's going to happen every episode, right? But she was on the run. She was keeping a low key. She doesn't have a lot of friends because she doesn't want to be found. She does scavenging work because it's on the fringes of money. She's on a planet that the Republic basically ignores because of agreements. I mean, I got a person that was just living their life, given the circumstances.
Doing the day-to-day.
Yeah, right? And given that environment, the way she acted was perfect for the whole thing. Like, why wouldn't you watch some other fuck get punched while they've robbed you numerous times? Or any of these situations.
I'm with you on that completely. She's definitely in the moment all the time. She sets her sight on the next, like just the next thing.
She just doesn't care. I mean, basically in her eyes, like everything was kind of just taken away. So might as well just do whatever the fuck I want, as long as the Republic's not bothering me.
Yep. Everything's still going fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, like, I'm not, like, I don't think
go
we're
start
off
a normal life and, you know, fucking Tuesdayville and like, all right,
settle down.
Yeah, we're good. No, there's a massive army hunting her down all the time.
Yeah, right. So yeah, the Republic. So you have your big bad that we met, Lazaro. So he's your standard stick up the ass friggin' bad guy with the, you know, the giant, you know, overarching, are they the Republic here? Are they called the Republic? Yeah, mm-hmm. They're the Admiralty of the Republic of Areopa, I believe is what this says. There were so many scenes that I was laughing out loud in. Like,
I love
the guy who,
he looked like, he basically reminded me if he was Nathan Fillion's brother in real life, because he kind of looks like him, but he's not like the superstar. And as soon as I saw that, and then the first time he opened his mouth, I was like, yeah, that's exactly how Nathan Fillion's brother would act, because he's not cool and nice like Nathan Fillion. Like, he's got the smile, he's got the looks.
The anti-Fillion.
Like, he is an asshole. And, like, even when he's being, like, not even trying to do the scary vibe, just, like, his almost too perky, pleasant formalities like he has with people, you're just like, something's not right about you. And then when he does it, when he talks about how his, like, father burnt him with, like, a smile on his face giggling, you're just like, oh, you're batshit insane, homie. Got it.
You're a fucking nut. Way, yeah.
Before we even get to those two, he scalped a man because he's like, what the hell's going on? And just brushed him aside, like, move now.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, to the guy who answered the comms, who was like playing strip poker.
Oh, that was so funny, dude. Like, I love how both of us just coughing our asses off over here.
Just dying over here.
I loved how they do show, like, things in the show that are most certainly only for the audience. Like, when they're playing strip poker, cool, all right, whatever. You're like, hey, man, guys, strain it out on some fucking remote thing. Like, that is a lawless area. Obviously, they're going to be doing kind of whatever they want, right? But the fact that he forgot to turn the comm back off, and it's like, oh, I think I left it on because he's all drunk and shit. Like, beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, that, and then, like, the guy you said he scalped, like, as he's walking out there, he is like, I am way too high for this.
Yeah.
Just everybody. It was just, God, it was so light and refreshing, every bit of it. Like, I didn't really, it's so refreshing, it was kind of like, nah, it's one of those, they're all going to get out of it just fine. I am kind of bummed about the end, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So, once the Republic arrives and she's trying to hide. By the way, anybody who coughs and then jumps in front of me in line is definitely going to get called out. I'm just saying. Like, her little move to, like, try to get in the line to get off the thing. And I was like, nobody's going to say anything, huh? Nobody. Nobody sitting here is going to say a word.
Yeah, well, I think that was just given, like, obviously she's the main character, you know, like, but ignoring that bullshit, like, everyone's in line trying to get the hell out of there knowing they're a fugitive, so they're like, you know what, not even gonna bring attention as long as this thing keeps moving fucking forward.
That could be the reason you're like, you know what, I'm not gonna,
yeah, because it was funny myself. I mean, now that you mentioned that scene, like, I actually went, I like how there's other, like, loyalists now that are just right next to her and are like, hey, blah 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 blah, you know, we need to get out of here, da 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 da. And I'm like, every one of them people behind her is a criminal. And they all want to leave and get the Republic out of here. So not a one of them was like, hey, he just said it, Queen, right here.
This is what you're looking for.
Like, that one, I was,
you got to give everybody credit for that.
Especially when they're still sitting there, like, holding guns, you know, that aren't the soldiers' guns. And I know everybody's carrying guns around there, but, like, those four cloaked figures just blatantly out of place, you know, doing it all. So, I mean, apparently everybody on that planet, you can rob a bank with. Because they
everybody, they're all trustworthy. They all
hate the Republic that bad that they're not willing to throw someone else out there under the bus, which goes to make you wonder, like, what has the Republic really done? You know, like, I know you kind of get.
I cannot wait to dig into that hierarchy.
Yeah, like, I want to see their, like, pecking order, and I hope they don't kind of do the thing where, like, the guy we just met is really, he's, like, really the big bad guy, because they make the bad guy almost kind of goofy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want him to be almost just like the Admiral we met, but look like he's older and just held that spot a little bit longer. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, one day he's going to kill you. You know it, but you unfortunately are training him. And so we're kind of watching this whole, like, dance. And I think that would be, like, fun to watch him, like, because I just know he's, like, whatever he decides to come up with, it's going to be, one, a great one-liner, and, like, vicious. Mm-hmm. You know, like when he broke his leg.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just it. Like, so you have to wonder what he sustains from his higher-ups when he is breaking legs. He shot that one guy at the end who was like, should we report this up? Or he said, should we call the Admiralty?
Yeah.
And he shot the guy dead. And the other guys are just like, we're not going to say anything.
Yeah, I like, we're not. We're anybody else with any more smart ideas? And he's, mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's like, so you have to think that if how rampant that is all the way up, like, does this dude, does he become like the cowering imbecile when he gets with his higher ups because they do just as bad to him, but, you know, just don't kill him because
things where it's like how they train an elephant, you know, like lock him down to something heavy and shit. Like he's been subjugated for so long that he made it through all this stuff. So they have like a little bit more respect for him, and it would have to be something really, really bad. And even then it would be one of the, I feel like one of those things where like whatever the bad guy does to him, you're like, oh dude, that's fucked up, but it's still not like really, really terrible. Like if they don't kill him or like take an arm away or something like that, you know, it's just like, he's got some kind of crazy power or like burns him. You know what I'm saying? You're just like, oh dude, that's not cool.
So what if that arm burn, what if that's like in Dark Knight where the Joker's story changes every time he tells how he got his scars?
Yeah, that would be
what cool. If it's like, what if he changed that story every episode about how his arm became the way it was? And then you find out like it is something that the higher ups, like when he messes up, they burn him and, you know, with whatever. That would be cool.
Yeah, it's like the scarring from some device he has to put on or some shit like that, you know, that they latch him up to or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind
of
sweet.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like there's a whole lot of attaboys in that that group.
No, I do, like you said, I like the way the actor is playing the character, like how he carries himself. When we first meet him, like when he comes out of the steam, like he even like strikes a pose.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Like he knows it. Like it's like it's almost like he knows he's on camera.
Yeah, and that that's kind of thing. What I like about this show is they give you stuff where it's like everyone knows they're on camera, but it's like a reality show. They've been in front of it for so long, they don't even really notice it anymore. Cause you're like, we wouldn't have really seen that from their point of view or, you know, things like that. You're like, mm-hmm. That's just totally off the side meant for us.
Exactly. So let's talk about her followers, or what's a better word? Loyalist? What do they use in the show?
The loyalist.
The loyalist. Yeah. So number one, I mean, so she knew the bartender. They were, quote unquote, old friends, as old as, like, she knew him before she sat down at the bar. So she must frequent Heej's station often enough. But the question is, how long have those loyalists, did they track her to that? Have they been sitting there kind of like watching over her this whole time she's been like missing, and when she finally got like settled, or how did, that's the next big like question mark.
I don't even think you'll get that.
Really?
Yeah. Why would you? You don't need it.
Because I really don't want Nim to be dead, because he was my favorite character this episode.
He's not dead. You saw him gargling. You saw him move at the end. He was most certainly still alive.
I mean, he jumped.
And
maybe he's from a species that can handle
it. I remember after he killed. Okay. So the grenade, right?
Right.
He jumps away. Two guards die. Yes. And then they come back. The Admiral guy's there talking, kills his buddy. Right after that, he looks over at Nim. Nim goes, oh, and then he smiles like, oh, I got somebody that's alive.
Ooh, did I miss that part? I'm so glad
Nim's Yeah, he's not.
Dead. I was really worried.
I guarantee you're probably going
to He's my that, favorite. Like,
we're going to find out why Nim really doesn't like them, because he's either going to tell it now as he's getting tortured or whatever. But he's going to get out and come back, because the little bit that he was on the screen, though, but the fact that he's the one that goes and gets her dinner and she becomes buddies with him real quick. And then he does that whole like kung fu thing and fucks those dudes up, which was hilarious, by the way, because Nim's only all of like 3.5 feet tall, guys. Like he's not and he has a dog head. So he's adorable and tiny and vicious and funny. But and also 100% loyal, true OG. And is not afraid to her die.
and to her decisions. Even when he drops the grenade, he says, "Long live Alita," instead of using her real name, which is Eldana
or something.
Daya, like Eldaya, which is hilarious because that was like the running joke. Also, they were like, "You chose Alita after Eldaya." Yeah, oh yeah, way to go deep undercover.
I love how our guy that came to rescue her like laughs at her. He's like, "Oh, because that's really undercover." Yeah.
You tried real hard with that one, didn't you? But he says, "Long live Alita." And of course, when we first meet him and he knocks out one of her two, like the leaders of the loyalists to let her escape, he's like, look, I support you as my queen, no matter what your decision is, even if it's being fucking retarded. I'm going after you. I'm going to go right there with you. So I love him. I was hoping they wouldn't put a character like that and then just whack him in the first episode.
I need him. Sci-fi.
I need him to feel
about like people they kind of show at the beginning that you see like make connections. They're like, don't worry, they're here. We're good.
Yeah. I mean, I need him to really feel.
I thought he was dead too, and I was like, oh, that sucks. But then I got the like he moved, and the guy looked at him, and I was like, ah, he's still alive.
Yeah, because I need him to fill the hole that Eleanor didn't for Picard.
Right now, yeah.
I need the writers of Picard to watch this show and write Eleanor like this dude. Badass, but also fucking hilarious.
Pretty much.
Like, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's where I want. Let's see, what else was there?
You catch
a little I like bit that we got like
story
a, from her backstory.
You see that there was an invasion of some sorts.
Lazaro again. Yeah.
You don't know it.
They were already in hiding.
The background as he's like walking. They do the like little blurry effect on him, but then they show his face at the end when he kills her mom.
When she thinks.
Well, yeah.
He kills her mom.
So that has been thrown into a question because the guy's like, "Your mom's still alive,
Isaac."
Yeah,
I gotta teach you all the names.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna have to learn them all, man. I've only gotten 45 minutes, and I don't know anybody's name. But I don't like. Given their history and like the things he's already done, I don't really know the truth. Like from that guy, he was very hard up to get off that planet and on that ship.
Right, and he knew exactly when to throw that little tidbit out there. He didn't tell her at the beginning. He told her exactly when he needed her to like hesitate and then take them to the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how when the sister mechanic walks by him and she kind of like looks at him like, really. Like all this
now,
you know, yeah, you're a dick. Yes. Like, what you want me to do? I love how it doesn't really register to him. You know, he doesn't catch when he's just blatantly being like an asshole. Like, right. He's like, huh? What?
Yeah. It's really cool to watch him get to like stretch out his acting chops or his comedy chops. Because he definitely has more of a comedic feel to his character. I mean, everything in this show is lighter and more comedic. But like in Doc Holliday, he is kind of the lighter thing, or not Doc Holliday. And Wynonna Earp as Doc Holliday, he kind of has like he is the lighter tone to the show, but the show's kind of dark, but kind of like black comedy. So it never gets this light. So he gets to like go a little bit more nuts with his comedy, which is kind of fun. We get a cool, like when they're going to the ship, we get the cool slow-mo walk with their guns getting ready to go into their giant battle. I was like, that's pretty awesome. The special effects, man. I mean, I can't be, it's a little bit campy. Like it's a little bit, you can tell they're just like shaking the gun and they're like, you know, the post effect guys.
Yeah, putting
the
blast. But I was kind of trying to get at earlier, like I feel like they know the show is campy. So you get a little bit, not overacting, but just things you would never see in another style of film, right? And they kind of just oversell it just enough where it's the comedy's there with it, even though there's maybe a gunfire going on. You're like, dude, look at Bill in the back. Like, he's just like, you know, straight up in or something, right? Like, they do. I'm in love with the show. I fucking love it.
It's great. Now, but that being said, like, the set designs are cool. They're definitely smaller and more contained. Like,
you know, because like a Neo-Tokyo kind of style, like grungy, lit up cities, a dime a dozen, right? Like I want to kind of see where the next, like, because they're like, hey, our ship's going down. We got to land. So I want to see what the random planet they throw at us is, you know?
Yeah. And then it becomes, so we think that Lazaro has Nim and that's what he'll use because he's already used one person that she cared for, the bartender, to lure her out. So now he's going to have Nim, and he's going to do the same thing again to get her to show up or to whatever. What are you laughing at?
I was remembering how they broke each other out, and then they all ran into each other in the hallway.
They're all dressed in the same shit. They're all doing the,
like, disguised as soldier, sneak the dude out, and they're like, where are you going?
Go Republic. Yeah.
They're like, where are you going? That's on a need-to-know basis. What about you? Yeah, same thing. And then they like stare at each other and like they just, and you could tell everyone didn't know what was going on. And they're like, all hail the Republic. Yeah, yeah, all hail the Republic. Like,
yeah, go Republic. And then that's the other, I mean, so you have, it has that Star Wars feel because you have the nameless soldier in the mask and the full armor that you can't tell who is who. And they even make an outside joke like, you know, you'd think they would, because the two of them get caught on the stairwell and then they just walk right by them and they go, you know, you'd think they would not hide everybody's faces so it wouldn't be so easy to infiltrate this place.
Right, yeah.
I just love I think
I've seen this in a movie somewhere. He's like, they do this in movies all the time. He's like, and then he brings up the
did
whole...
Did you just break the fifth wall? Yeah. Was that a fifth? Like, you're way past the fourth wall on that one, buddy. You're referencing shit inside the world I'm sitting in. That's crazy. Oh, but the cool thing. Okay, so this one, I didn't even catch until the second time I watched it. Isaac's whole drive is to get back to Earth.
Oh, you didn't, oh, you didn't catch that the first time?
I didn't catch it because... what I didn't catch is that she said... She said, you're crazy. Nobody knows where Earth is.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch her? I was like, last night when I was watching it, I was like, ooh, wait a second. Let me sit up a little bit. So tell me, because they kept opening, like when she was on the scavenger planet, and then when she was at Zija, they would say like, another galaxy, no, not yours. It was like the title line, yeah. Like when they were showing the name of the place. And so you're like, okay, well, you're galaxies away, but this is still, they're still humans. At least some of them are from Earth. But the question is, when was the last time somebody was on Earth? I mean, it has to be within this guy's lifetime, but then how do you not know where Earth is now? So that's like that.
Yeah, but you think it's in his lifetime line, or it's just like Earth is Shangri-La?
Who's Hannah?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
true. Yeah, it could be that too. Like Hannah went to Earth, but no one knows what. So in all of this campy, fun action sci-fi show, like I think there may be more to it than we expect. I really do. Like,
yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of cool reveals. Like, I don't think Earth is wiped off, but it's like, hey, we all moved out for star travel for whatever reason and blah, blah, blah. Then the Republic took over and it's like no one out in this sector has ever gone back anywhere near Earth, you know, kind of thing. Well, right. Yeah.
But how do you, but I mean, not going near and not knowing where are completely two different things. That is what has me like, boggles my mind.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're not near Earth and you don't travel, like galaxies are fucking huge, man.
I understand that.
You're all like acting like every person on that planet does deep space travel. Like it's nothing. That's not the case. Like, their spaceships are Model Ts. Like, they're just like, oh, I can go over here like a Sunday drive, not let me go travel light years away and get out of here. Nobody's got fucking just ships like that laying around. We've been spoiled by watching Trek ships and things like that. They can move wherever they want. Like, we're down on the everyman's level.
He did mention jumping, so there is some sort of light speed. There is some sort of fast. Yeah. There is some sort of travel.
But it also seems like it's only a thing that everybody good else we've seen do in the background of Star Wars, like, you
right,
know,
right. So,
but I do kind of wonder, what is the deal with not knowing where Earth is, right? Like,
right at this point, that's the history I want to know.
Yeah,
tell me how. Because I don't think they gave us a time, did they?
There's not a year splashed up there, you know, because I wonder if it's like just so far in the future, quote unquote, you know, where everything now seems to backtrack with, but still has spaceships. And Earth is this, I bet you Earth is like the one place that the Republic just can't ever get to or something. For whatever reason, right? Like Earth is going to be some magical place that we all fucking left. And now everyone's like, man, we need to get back to fresh water and mountains and cows, you know, like just normal shit, right? Like it's all of the people that grow up and then start like making massive farms in their houses. Like that's where every Pinterest person ends up going, like to Earth, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So that will be, I hope that wasn't just a throwaway line. I want that to mean something deeper, and I want them to tell us.
I don't think so. Because where, it was, like,
how
It was big. It was very, you know, blatant. Like they, they, I mean, it was quick, but it was most certainly he said it, and her reply, the way it was like, get the fuck out of town, dude. Like Earth.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. You know, so it definitely caught my attention like right from the get go. So
for sure. But I am very happy this is the show you picked.
Yeah. I like
this and show. I guess this is probably the worst time to introduce myself and yourself because there may be some new folks who found us this week because there's probably not a whole bunch of Vagrant Queen reviews on out there in the podcasting world. Just saying, which is cool. I like being different. We like being different. So, you know.
Even though everything else we recorded, it's like a mainstream something outside of like completely mainstream outside of like the time travel ones because we were pulling some crazy ones out of that.
Dude, that was all right. We still haven't watched that one. It's supposed to be super boring. No, but my name is Clay.
I am Corey.
The guy into the mic is Corey. Yep, and we have been doing this for a couple years now. Everything from movies to TV shows, mostly TV now since MoviePass is a thing of the past. So
yeah, I miss MoviePass sometimes.
Honestly, kids. As you can tell, we're both dads and kids. Ruin everything, so there's no time to get out, and I also don't work from home anymore, except all of us are working from home right now.
If
you are working, we're sorry. That part friggin', oh man, I feel for those people right now.
Yeah, there's a big old protest in Richmond over the weekend.
Was there good? I mean, that's the part that we're not ready for. So anyways, Vagrant Queen, great show. Stay tuned. 10 episodes right here on Two Dads Review. That being said, yes, let's talk about some. Now comes the dad part of us. We're going to jump into this for a second. Yeah, that the part that we all need to worry about, like the people that, you know, work remotely if you can. That statement right there only applies to a certain number of people, a certain type of person who works a certain type of job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a chunk of people who just are not able to work. They are not allowed to come in. There is, and we're nearing it's the 2nd of April. This all started, what, beginning of March, maybe like middle when everybody started taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Like, so we're nearing that. Okay. This is the first rent and or mortgage that was due right now. Okay, you're supposed to be getting a check. We're all supposed to be getting a check from the government that everybody, you know, gets that isn't making too much to get that. And so that's going to come in. And then if we're not like done being on this hold of the world, it's going to get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get wild and not fun at all. People are going to start being real desperate, and I don't blame them. And that being said, you have a governor of Georgia, of a fucking one of the 50 states of the U.S., who just said yesterday on a press conference that we just learned 24 hours ago this could be transmitted by a person who is asymptomatic. And it's like, did you not pick up a paper? Did you not sit on a fucking conference call you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, like when things like that are said by politicians in an world happening event, right? Like you're gone. Just leave.
You know, if you're Congress, you're one of 100. If you're in the House, you're one of 200 and whatever. I don't know the number. You're a governor. You're one of 50. You're like the next level of there's only so many of you. And this is the shit you're going to spout on national television, you dumb fucking moron. And no one you have surrounded yourself with more yes men than that idiot in the White House has. Right. And so no one said, hey, sir, you probably like we fucking knew that. Like, you don't you shouldn't say that we didn't know that. Like, everybody has the internets. The internets is a real thing, sir.
I know.
How do you not fucking know this?
It's like, did you get the memo that the government sent out that gave you instructions for coronavirus and like how to avoid it? Did you not get that memo?
Yeah. I really would love to have been like a fly on the wall during the writing of the speech or like during him like quote unquote finding out
And then someone else in the background be like,
him like, I got this, guys, don't worry about it.
Someone else in the background being like, are you fucking serious?
Oh yeah.
Are we serious? Was this a joke? Am I on, well, it's like, am that I on picture
when, camera? When Trump like signed the wrong spot on the thing and you can see all of the other leaders like just looking around like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, and the worst part is, like, anybody who didn't like turn off the podcast when we started shitting on Trump, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I did vote last election, but I voted third party. Yeah, I know I throw my vote away, but I don't give a shit. As long as we treat it like it's throwing your vote away, the third party is never going to matter, ever. And we're stuck with cutting your leg off above or below the knee. It doesn't really fucking matter in the long run if you got only two choices to make. So whatever. But yes, if you're just finding our show for the first time, we're a couple of dads in our late 30s, early 40s, or 40.
Yeah, not yeah. Early 40s. There's no S 40. In that. That's a singular one, yeah. Right there. Don't.
I just entered my 40s in the end of February, so I'm on a new.
Don't you go lumping this young 36 over here into that 40 group over there, bud.
Like, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But yeah, we've done this for a while. We do okay. We love when everybody finds us new, and please share us with your friends and
talk to us. We actually talk back when we get it.
That's right. Find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Two Dads Review, the word two, not the number. I didn't think it through when I named the show. That's my fault. I'll take the hit on that one. But yeah, with that, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next week with our episode 2 review of Vagrant Queen.
See you guys.